To Fay, Jonathan Kellerman. To Gavri, Jesse Kellerman. 1. The House on Almond Street. Chapter 1. Friday, December 21st. They were going to have a nice evening together. Hattie had been planning for a week since Isaiah called to tell her he was home from school. He wanted to know, was it okay for him to come by and pay her a visit? Okay, how could it not be? Hattie couldn't remember when she'd last seen her grandson. That distressed her, both the not seeing and the not remembering. A year? Maybe longer. Too long, at any rate. It got lonely. She didn't get many visitors. People had their own lives. Her children had gone and gotten children for themselves. They'd found places in the world. That alone was proof of a life well lived. It got lonely, though. Curtis, Isaiah's father, her youngest, made the drive down once a month or so. You'd think it was 1,000 miles instead of 40. Hattie sometimes made up reasons to call him. The kitchen outlets did go bad a lot. Standing at the breaker box, he would remind her again in that weary, patient way of his that the whole sub-panel needed replacing. Her baby boy, graying. It must have happened at some point that she stopped scolding him and it started coming back the other way. There must have been a day. She couldn't remember that either. The neighborhood's changing, he said. She fixed coffee and let him make his case. They were fleeing the city, pouring over the bridge. Computer people. Couldn't be stopped. They wanted to be near the train, 10 minutes to downtown San Francisco. They paid cash. Did she know what she could get for this old place? He took after his own father. Unsentimental. It's too much house for one person, he said. And where was she supposed to live, according to this plan? With us. Hattie snorted. I guess you didn't ask Tina how she feels about that. Mom, please, she'd love to have you. He was missing the point. Change was nothing new to her. All her life she'd lived in Oakland, half those years on Almond Street, and never could she remember the scenery standing still. Now he expected her to pick up and run? What from? White folks wielding new countertops? She'd weathered worse. Not to say she wasn't tempted. Most of her friends had left, passed on, or else lost their leases. Curtis wasn't the only one trying to show her the light. Real estate agents kept calling her up, knocking on her door, sliding their slick postcards into her mailbox. Please call me to discuss an exciting opportunity. Once she went to put out the trash and a young fellow in a jacket and tie appeared at her side. Hattie thought he must have been sitting in his car waiting for her, like an eel darting out from the rocks to snap. He offered to bring the can down to the curb for her. No, thank you. She could manage on her own. He left her with a card. Sean Godwin, licensed realtor, and a sheet of paper listing recent neighborhood sales. On the Almond Street alone, there were 3, including the big wreck across the street. A ruined beauty with a cratered roof, blank window frames, walls spray-painted in wrathful scrawls. Hattie's eyes nearly fell out of her head when she saw the price. She counted the string of zeros and expected bulldozers any day. The buyer was a white lady with other ideas. Plank by plank, dab by dab, the skeleton knit itself back together, grew flesh, skin, acquired a healthful glow. Hattie monitored the process through her curtains. A crew of Spanish men did the heavy work. Often, though, she saw the lady herself out there, her and her husband, or boyfriend, more likely, smoking and laughing as they rolled paint, drove out a horde of raccoons, or the lady alone wearing overalls to hang wire for a chicken coop, planting bamboo that rose to shut out the world. Everything changes, nothing remains. Hattie knew that. She accepted it. Truth be told, it excited her a little, the unexpected. Her husband, God rest him, called her a dreamer. She used to hide her mystery novels under the kitchen sink so he wouldn't lecture her. For this reason, perhaps, she harbored a particular closeness to Isaiah. He was a dreamer, too. I might come by and see you, Grandma. Is that okay? Was it okay? Hattie baked a coconut cake. Isaiah clocked her disappointment as soon as she opened the door. She'd begun moving in for a kiss, freezing as her eye picked out the metal.